Welcome once again to Forgotten Word radio program. I'm Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. Today we're going to talk a little bit about our reward. What exactly was the reward that the Lord promised us, that Jesus promised us? What are the rewards that we're supposed to look forward to, the rewards we're supposed to have? Are we, in my view, I'll tell you what my view is on this. Here's my take. I feel like the reward that the Lord promised me is my reward in heaven. I don't feel like I'm supposed to have my heaven on earth. My duty as a follower of Christ is to follow Christ, to preach the gospel to all mankind. I don't see anywhere where it can be justified that we're supposed to be rich, we're supposed to have as many cars as we want, airplanes as we want, houses as we want, the fanciest this, the fanciest that, while there's umpteen millions of people in the world starving to death, no place to live, no food to eat, no clothes on their back. It's enough to make me personally sick. I'm sick to my heart and my stomach every time I hear one of these preachers on TV, especially, but they're becoming more and more in numbers in the churches now too. Just the, you know, your hometown churches, not just the TV evangelists in the churches, but I'm talking about your hometown churches. It's becoming to where that's all they talk about. Money, 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 dominion. We can have this, we can have that. You know, you're supposed to have this. The Lord said, you're supposed to have this. You have a right to have this. God promised you this. God promised you that. Jesus promised you this. Jesus promised you that. You know, I'm just totally amazed. Just totally amazed and sickened by it. I can tell you that in my estimation, my reward is heaven. The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. We have descriptions of heaven somewhat in the Bible. Not a lot, but enough to make us know, you know, it's streets paved with gold. My land sakes, folks, if the streets that you're going to walk on are paved with gold, what in the name of all mankind and heaven above both can the rest of heaven be like? If the streets are gold, I cannot in my mind even begin to fathom how wonderful and how glorious and marvelous a place it's going to be. So why am I trying? Why would I want to try to have my heaven here on earth? I, for the life of me, do not understand that. I never have understood it. I went along with it when I was a member of a Pentecostal denomination. I don't mind saying it. I was a member of the Assembly of God for a number of years, and my first training for preaching was through the school of the Assembly of God out of Springfield, Missouri. Excuse me. And I little at a time started seeing that that's what the Assembly of God was turning to. In the assemblies, not just the assemblies, but in a lot of the Pentecostal churches that preach the money, you'll notice that people have an air about them that's totally different than other churches. There's no humbleness. There's certainly a lot of holiness, but not towards God. The holiness seems to be towards themselves. They want the finest cars, the finest clothes, the finest shoes, the finest houses, the finest everything. I mean, everything. I don't care what they buy. It seems like the people that's in those types of churches, they have to have the finest of everything that's available. I don't believe that's whole. That's biblical. I just truly do not believe it's biblical. Of course, the Lord said he'd give you 30, 60, 100-fold on something, but he didn't say it was always going to be money. And that's what these guys preach. These folks come out there and they tell you that they're going to give you, that God is going to give you 100-fold on your seed faith. Have you ever noticed that if you want to get a reward from a TV evangelist and some of these guys in these churches, that the only way you can get the blessing from God is by paying them to do it? God is for sale, and we're going to do a program on God for sale, so we'll get to that. But I'm just saying that there's no excuse under God's beautiful heaven, that we should be trying to build our heaven on earth and thinking that if we don't have the finest robes and the finest houses and the finest cars and the finest animals and the finest this and the finest that, that we're doing something wrong. You take these folks that are living like that, and oh, if they're giving their 10%, they think they're going out of their way. Well, I give to the church every year. I do this every year. I do that every year. And in the meantime, you know, they're millionaires. They're living like kings and queens instead of like servants of the Lord God. I just don't go for it, folks. I just don't go for it. It's amazing to me why people think that that's the way it has to be. Let me explain a little bit about what the Lord says heaven's going to be like. You know, it says in Matthew 5:12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophet which were before you." So see, your reward's in heaven. That's Matthew 5:12. Your reward is in heaven. In Luke 6:23, "Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy." Rejoice, it says, and, you know, leap for joy. "For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their father unto the prophets." And it also goes on to talk about a place where God is worshipped in heaven. "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which it was and is to come." That's Revelation 4:8-11. We know God lives in is in heaven. Deuteronomy 26:15 and Matthew 10:32-33 tells us that heaven is a place where God lives. It's also going to be a place of exceeding joy. Matthew 13:44 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hidden in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Now, keep in mind also, in heaven, treasure may be stored in heaven. What's it say in the Bible about it? I believe Mark 10:21 explains it pretty well. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and then shalt and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." Mark 10:21. So he's telling you there, you lack if you don't do this. You actually lack. So all the things that it seems like you can do right, all the wonderful things you got going for you, it says you're lacking something. Go, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then take up your cross and follow Jesus. 10:21 in Mark. Now, I know we all can't sell everything we have, but you know what? That's what the Lord's telling us. So we try to do the best we can. But it doesn't mean we got to go out and get rich, stay rich, and then say, well, I did the best I can. Because you're not doing the best you can. You're doing the best you can for yourself, and that's it, period. Names of saved are written in heaven. There's no tears in heaven or no sadness in heaven. Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away." See, so they're gone. That's Revelation 21:4. The Bible also gives us a little bit of description about what heaven's like. Let's see if we can find us. See, it says, let's see what it does say here, parts of this. And it says, "Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a high wall, a great and high wall, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates." And it talks about all that's there, and what it is, and all that kind of stuff, and how big it is. All about the walls. And, you know, there's all kind of emeralds. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emeralds. And then, you know, he talks about topaz and jacinth and amethyst and sardius. You know, there's just all kinds of the things that he talks about. He talks about the 12 gates being pearls. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. And it was also like it was transparent glass. It was so shiny. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple that's in heaven. That's what John's telling us. And so, you know, that's a wonderful description of what heaven's like. He said, showed a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. So, you know, that's all in Revelation 22, 1 through 21. There's a whole lot more in there I didn't read, but that gives you an idea of just how wonderful and beautiful and marvelous heaven's going to be. And yet, we want to go along thinking that we're supposed to have heaven here on earth because these rich evangelists tell us that's the way it's supposed to be. When all you're really doing, folks, all you're really doing is, if you're not careful, buying a ticket to hell. You're not buying a ticket to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't buy a blessing. Mike Murdoch's a wonderful man about saying, I'm not trying to tell you you can buy a blessing. You can't buy a blessing. You can't buy a gift from God. You can't buy anything from God. But yet, why does he tell you, plant your seed and God will give you? He doesn't say God will give it to you if you don't have the seed money. He tells you you have to plant the seed. So you can get your reward. And your reward's going to be here on earth, not in heaven. Because he's telling you, plant that $1,000 seed. Be one of the Gideon 300, I've heard him say. And you'll get that big, marvelous gift from God because you planted a $1,000 seed or a $58 seed or a $57 seed or a $300 seed or a $225 seed. But everything's transpires around money. Money, money, money. So you can have heaven on earth. There is no heaven on earth. The Bible never, ever says we're going to have heaven on earth. It says just the opposite, that we're going to struggle, we're going to be persecuted, and that's how it's going to be. Now, we can say anything we want to say, but it does not matter because the Bible's right. We're wrong. Those guys are wrong. Murdoch is wrong. Copeland is wrong. Benny Hinn is wrong. Jesse Duplantis is wrong. And I could go on and on about these gentlemen, these preachers that talk about money, 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 money. But that, my friend, is not the answer. That is not your ticket to heaven. Heaven is a place you should look forward to as your reward from Christ for doing what he asked you to do. Accept Jesus as your Savior. That's what God said. Jesus said it too. Only he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. And if you want to reap your reward, you make a effort today to plan on reaping your reward in heaven, not earth. Folks, I'm out of time. Love you. Jesus loves you. Visit our website, www.forgottenword.org. Forgottenword.org. We hope you come back tomorrow. We're going to do some more, talk some more. We want to be a blessing for you. We hope we are a blessing. We're trying to teach you. We'll get better just as we go along, I suppose. But, Lord bless you. Pray for us. We need your prayers, naturally. We need your support. God bless you. Love you. And until tomorrow, tomorrow comes early again, you know. Every morning, 7 o'clock, we want to see you join us. Love you. Pray for you. I'll keep you in my prayers, folks. See you again. God bless you.